L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you locally by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert.
The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
Well, this show falls into the best laid plans of mice and men, if you will. We hope to have a number of guests to join us here for the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you. And certainly we hope to have Commodore head football coach Derek Mason join us here for the first half hour of the program. A lot of elements to talk about, a lot of moving parts to talk about in terms of not only Vanderbilt football, but Southeastern Conference football, as we are seeing news around the conference that certainly could impact Vanderbilt. Then at the bottom of the hour, we hope to have Commodore head men's golf coach Scott Limbaugh join us. The Commodores are leading the Jerry Pate Invitational down in Vestavia Hills, Alabama, heading into the final round, and hope to have him join us for a little bit to talk about their progress and talk about a guy that is a Commodore who's going to be teeing it up at Augusta this weekend. So we're looking forward to that as well. And then hopefully in the last quarter hour, a quick visit with play-by-play voice of the University of Kentucky, my good friend Tom Leach, who will check in and hopefully give us a little bit of a scenario of what's going on up in Lexington as the Commodores get set to head up to Lexington to Commonwealth Stadium to take on the Wildcats. 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff on Saturday in Lexington there. Looking forward to that one. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We will start with the coach right after this. We are glad you're with us for the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. The Vanderbilt football team will travel to Lexington, Kentucky on Saturday to take on the Wildcats. It's an early start, 11 a.m. Central Time. Is the broadcast as the Commodores will take on the Cats at Commonwealth Stadium. There has been some interesting news in the SEC, and the Commodores are sort of peripherally involved in this. Mississippi State has announced that they are not able to play this coming weekend against Auburn because of COVID-19, a combination of players that have tested either positive or contact tracing, injuries, all of that. Basically, State Director of Athletics John Cohen has said, based on the positive tests and those considered as close contacts, along with non-COVID injuries, we do not have the minimum number of scholarship student-athletes available for Saturday's game against Auburn. So that game has been postponed. I will tell you that Vanderbilt was just over the minimum number of scholarship players available for Saturday's game against Mississippi State. I think State was in the same boat, and I think quite a number of Southeastern Conference teams have been in that same boat. I mean, you have to have a minimum number of scholarship athletes available. It's not just total athletes. It's not, you know, put 57 guys in uniform and send them out there. It's got to be scholarship athletes, number one, that are all encompassed in that group. And Vanderbilt was able to be to reach that minimum, certainly. And now Mississippi State has said they are not able to make that, and so they will not play against Auburn on Saturday. That game has been postponed, and so we will see how that all plays out in this process. So certainly That is a challenge for Mississippi State and for the rest of the conference. And it's not anything, and we've talked about this before. We've talked with this with Coach Derek Mason before, and hopefully Coach will join us here shortly. But this is not unexpected. You know, I think the conference, I think Greg Sankey, the commissioner of this conference, when they put all these plans together to try to play, I think they realized there were going to be hiccups. There were going to be bumps in the road where you were going to have to say, we're not available, we don't have enough players for whatever reason, and we're going to have to work around it. And I think a lot of people maybe don't understand when they think about the situation with COVID. You think about thinking about players that are not available. Well, you may only have one or two players that test positive for the COVID virus, but contact tracing comes into play. And for so many of these situations, and I know Vanderbilt has been through this, and we went through this a couple of weeks ago, when you have a player or two players that test positive, if they are in a certain position group, you end up having to deal with a lot of those players being contact traced and now having to quarantine, whether they have the issues or not, whether they have symptoms or not. And so you end up losing a large chunk of one particular group, and that's certainly what happened to Vanderbilt defensively 3 weeks ago when you go back to that South Carolina game. And I would imagine that's what's happening with Mississippi State right now. We don't know who the players were, and they won't certainly tell who has tested positive, and they should not. But that's something that comes into play in terms of dealing with contact tracing and players that are around you. And I know that Derek Mason has told us, and we've talked about this, in terms of how Vanderbilt now deals with situations day-to-day and how players are sort of compartmentalized, if you will, in terms of how much time they spend around certain groups of players and not exposed to the entire group. That's not only inclusive in how they practice, that's inclusive of how they go to the locker room. That's inclusive in how they work out, how they lift when they go to their workouts. It's inclusive in how they travel, how they sit together, what groups they are in. They really try to keep these groups sort of in compartments. And so you know that if you have an issue, if you have a player or a couple of players that test positive, then you can contact trace a limited group of people around them and sort of have it limited where it doesn't run through your entire team. Vanderbilt's done, I think, a wonderful job, you know, in that regard, of trying to make sure that that's the way they take care of this, and that's certainly part of it. I would assume all the other schools in the conference, I would think all the schools around the country, are trying to do the same thing. Mississippi State, I think Mike Leach talked about it a little bit after the game, that they were kind of barely over the threshold on Saturday in terms of the number of players that they thought they had available to play the game. So when you get to that point, and I think Vanderbilt was at this point a few weeks ago, where you rolled into a game and where you had just enough to play the game, to meet the criteria, to meet the requirements, but you could not afford any more. And I think that's where State has now had that happen, and where they've had enough players either test positive or contact trace where they cannot field a team. And so that game with Auburn has been postponed. I don't think that's the last you're going to hear of this. You know, I think there are going to be more issues, maybe not just only in the Southeastern Conference, but all around. And I think that's not that uncommon. And you see so many athletic directors who are stepping up and talking about this. Russ Bjork at Texas A&M talking about this, saying, quote, "We anticipated all this. This is why the protocols are in place. This is why we built in the extra week. Hopefully we can create some more flexibility by looking at the 19th. He's talking about the 19th of December. And they're talking about that week that's built in between the end of the so-called regular season and the Southeastern Conference championship game. And that's what that's all talked about. And we'll see how many games fall into that weekend. Vanderbilt, of course, is in that situation already, having had Missouri, that game postponed because of the COVID situation that the Commodores had to deal with. And so that game has been moved into December, and hopefully we'll play that in the second week of December. But this is kind of just the nature of where we are, you know, right now. And it's been fascinating to talk to the coaches, not only the head coaches, but the coordinators, because, you know, you show up one day and you think this is the team you have, that you think this is the lineup you have, and you lay out your depth chart, and then the testing results come back. And then you realize you've got to change everything. And suddenly, Ted Roof has mentioned this on a couple of occasions, you could be a four-string guy, and then you turn around the next day and you're starting. And that's where we are. And that's the situation where not only Vanderbilt is, but I think most schools in the country are. And coaches are dealing with this, where you make a plan. You hope that all the players you have on your depth chart are going to be available for you, and you hope you don't get any bad news on Friday. Teams test 3 days a week. Most of these football teams test 3 days a week. And so you wait for that last test result before your game to make sure that everybody is clear and ready to go. But we've seen so many changes and so many you know, tests that come back positive, false positive or not, doesn't matter. They come back in that regard, and you pull those players out of the loop and have to go through the process all over again. And that's what all of these teams are going through. That's what I'm sure Mississippi State is going through right now. I'm sure they will test again and again all these players to confirm any of the positives that they have, but it's just the nature of where we are right now. I think a lot of us, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of us are amazed that we have gotten to this point in the season and not had to deal with a total stoppage. You know, I think we all anticipated there would be some hiccups in the road and there would be teams that would have to deal with this and maybe a suspended game or a postponed game now and then, and that's exactly what we've seen. But there's not been a total shutdown of play, and hopefully this will be able to continue, and the vast majority of the teams will be able to continue on. So that's where we are right now, and interesting, the Commodores, and I'm looking forward to talking to Coach Mason here in just a moment, hopefully, and ask him if they had any conversations with Mississippi State. Since we have just had about as close a proximity to anybody as you can have, you know, when you play a game like that, and see what impact, if any, there is on Vanderbilt as the Commodores get set to take on the Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday. That's coming up at 11 a.m. start on Saturday. Vanderbilt football this season is brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Commodore Hour right after this on 102.5 The Game. We welcome you back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you. Gupton Jeep is your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters. Has been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. They bring you the keys to the game every week as the Commodores tee it up. And this week it will be against the Kentucky Wildcats coming up on Saturday morning, as a matter of fact. That's an 11 o'clock start from Commonwealth Stadium in Lexington. The weather, it's kind of interesting because historically when we go to Lexington, it's cold. It's breezy. It's rainy. It's not a great time to be sitting out in the stands and watching football, but it looks like we might catch a little bit more of a break with the weather it is the way it's been the last few days. I mean, my goodness, upper 70s that we've had here in Middle Tennessee, and I think it's going to carry up to Kentucky. So hopefully the weather will be good for Saturday as the Commodores get set to take on Kentucky. The schedule coming up on Saturday, the Georgia Bulldogs will travel to Missouri. That's one of the early games as well. That's in another 11 o'clock start along with the Commodores at Kentucky. Texas A&M takes on Tennessee. That's in Knoxville. And, you know, A&M is one of those teams now that is starting to play themselves into the conversation for maybe postseason, maybe even the possibility of a playoff situation, given what happens as Texas A&M has climbed clearly into the middle of the top 10. And they have an opportunity to make a name for themselves if they continue to win. And a Tennessee team obviously coming off a tough loss at Arkansas. So that'll be a team that'll be champing at the bit to try to turn things around. So that'll be an interesting game to watch. Mississippi State and Auburn, that game has been postponed. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, Mississippi State with COVID-19 issues, too many players that have either tested positive or contact tracing. And Mike Leach said, we just don't have enough players to be able to field the full team. There is a minimum in terms of scholarship players that you have to have available to be able to play. It's somewhere in the 55 neighborhood, and Mississippi State not able to do that. And so they have stepped up and said that game has to be postponed, and it has been. Alabama, now number one in the country. Clemson's dramatic double overtime loss to Notre Dame. Alabama travels to LSU, and that's an interesting game because LSU, you know, that's one of those, when you looked at the beginning of the year, you thought, boy, this is going to be, you know, you can kind of draw a circle on this one. This is a national championship kind of game. Well, LSU has fallen on rougher times than I think most people anticipated. Alabama comes in after an open week to take on LSU. That's a 6 o'clock start for that game, actually 5 o'clock Central Time. And then Arkansas, and you talk about Sam Pittman and the job they have done, and the news now, Sam Pittman has tested positive for COVID. And so I would assume he will not be available to be on the sidelines unless he goes through the Nick Saban protocol, you know, and has a couple of more tests and comes out negative and is able to come out on the other side and be a part of it. But, boy, what a job they have done in Fayetteville. You know, this is a team that I think everybody rolled in and said they had no expectations of doing anything successfully, and they have done a marvelous job. Tremendous comeback against Tennessee on Saturday. Down 13-0 at the half, had nothing going on, and totally turned things around in the second half and won that game 24-13. They face a Florida team in Gainesville that I think fully believes they have a chance to play themselves into the national playoff picture, and I certainly think that's true. Given, you know, their big win over Georgia, they are in position to put themselves in great shape with an opportunity to be in that Final Four. And so that's a game that comes up on the evening on Saturday. And then South Carolina travels to Ole Miss for the final game of the SEC schedule. So another big weekend coming up looking at SEC football, and you see several teams that are trying to kind of position themselves. And if you want to pick three or four, certainly Alabama going to Baton Rouge. I don't care how good or how bad LSU is. When you roll into Death Valley, that is a tough place to go and win. And Alabama coming off an open week is going to go roll in there and have the opportunity to try to continue holding their number one ranking. You know, Texas A&M is another one. They need an impressive performance on the road at Tennessee, and we'll see how that plays out. And then the other, you know, is Georgia that's trying to kind of play themselves back into the picture, if you will, and we'll see, you know, how that plays out. But another big weekend coming up in Southeastern Conference football as we get set for that one. The Commodores heading to Kentucky with some interesting things. I think you come off a game where it was very much almost two very different halves. It was very frustrating, I think, for everybody watching the first, 20 minutes or so, because Mississippi State basically had their way. They went up and down the field. The Commodores had no pressure on the freshman quarterback, Will Rogers. He was able to stand tall in the pocket, just pick his spots and go where he wanted to. And then Ted Roof and Derek Mason dialed up some significant changes, and they turned up the pressure. They came from all over the place. They picked up confidence. And as a result of that, I think the offense picked up confidence in what the defense was able to do. I think the team fed off of each other's success. Ken Seals marched the team down the field, spread the ball around. Again, you know, Cam Johnson with over 100 yards receiving. I think Keon Henry Brooks was tremendous, over 100 yards rushing, almost 100 yards receiving. He was a dominant force offensively and had to be, because he was about the only option the Commodores had in the backfield. Jamari Wakefield injured on the one and only play that he ran in the contest. So as a result, it fell after Keon to the freshman Rocco Griffin, who does a fine job, but is not the guy, the receiver out of the backfield. He's not the things that Keon Henry Brooks is. And so it really limited what the Commodores could do from the running back position. And I thought Keon was just tremendous. When you think he touched the ball, he was a factor in 31 plays in the Commodores' performance on Saturday. I thought he was absolutely terrific. I think you see Chris Pierce continuing to grow at the wide receiver position, made a number of stellar catches, and I think using his size and his strength to his ability. I think you will see Vanderbilt look to get Ben Bresnahan back more involved at the tight end position. That we didn't really call his name at all on Saturday, and he's a guy that has been a significant cog in the offensive wheel for Vanderbilt. And so I think that's a guy that you will see, step up and be more a part of what they are able to try to do as they move forward Saturday in Lexington. Defensively, a number of guys' names that we call over and over again. I think Dario Odangbo has just has been Dio Odangbo. I call his brother's name as well. Dio's been terrific. He is just a force in there to be able to wreak havoc on the offense. And then the Orgy brothers behind him, both of those guys were terrific on Saturday. With Demetri Moore joining them. And then you see the secondary, and you see guys starting to step up. And now you got to remember Deshaun Jerkins was ejected from the game because of a targeting call that was, I think, a questionable call, but it was upheld. So he will be out for the first half for the game coming up on Saturday against Kentucky. And so that's going to put the onus on guys like Brendan Harris, and others like an Alan George to step up and be a real factor in the secondary. And so we'll see, how that plays out. But nonetheless, we'll see if this team continues to improve. I think, and we talked about it on our broadcast on Saturday, I think the third quarter of that game in Starkville was the best quarter of football Vanderbilt's played all year long. To play themselves back from 17-0 down with really nothing going on, to put themselves in position to have an opportunity to have a chance to win that game. And I think one of the other bonuses in that is you think about, for example, the Pearson Cook, the field goal opportunity, doinked one off the upright from 50 yards, and it was way up on the upright. It would have been good from a lot more than 50, and then came right back and hit one from 41, in the final minutes to put the Commodores within one score. So I think there is some increased confidence in the mindset for the special teams as well. All that comes into play as the Commodores get set to take on Kentucky. Kentucky's got some issues as well. The combinations of COVID and all those things that are going on, not quite sure Who the quarterback is going to be, we'll have to wait and see, and we'll deal with that on Saturday. Stay with us. I believe we're going to have Commodore golf coach Scott Limbaugh join us. Commodores are in first place in the Jerry Payton Invitational in Alabama. We'll talk about that right after this. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game. The Vanderbilt men's golf team taking part in the Jerry Payton National Intercollegiate at Old Overton Club in Vestavia Hills, Alabama, and the Commodores are leading at 18 under par heading into the final round. And Commodore head coach Scott Limbaugh joins us from Vestavia Hills. And, Coach, I'll tell you what, 8 under par on the second round, pretty solid second day, wasn't it?
Joe, it was. You know, they call the middle day moving day, so I was proud of the guys. They did a great job. Had Matthew Riedel go out first for us and kind of rebounded. Had a great week for us last week, but didn't have a great day yesterday and, you know, got us started, you know, with a 66. So I thought that was really big. I think it was the second low round of the day. So that was awesome.
I think that's one of the fascinating aspects of this team. Scott, you line up and you have to have them 1 to 5. You have players 1 through 5. But there have been significant times where your fifth player, if you will, is your best scorer. I mean, it's not based on your number one guy leading the charge. That's got to be a really good feeling.
Yeah, it is, Joe. I do think that, you know, that's one thing we've got this year is if there's ever been a year to have depth, it's this year, you know, with everything going on and not knowing day to day and week to week, and we really think we've got, you know, 7-8 guys that can step in and play, and so far this week that's what these guys have done. You know, John's not here with us and these guys have really stepped up and, you know, kind of taken ownership of what we're trying to do, and I think they're having a good time.
Let's talk about that. You mentioned John. You're talking about John Augenstein. You know, who is an All-American who clearly would be, I think, by everybody's rankings, your number one player on your team. And he is not there this week. He's got somewhere else he has to be this week, right?
Yeah, he's over playing at that tournament in Augusta, you know. And he's having a great time and been talking with him daily and had a practice round today. And so, yeah, we're super excited for him and the opportunity he's got this week. I think he's going to be a little better here in his second major. He seems a lot more comfortable and played great in his last time out, you know, for us, losing by a shot, finishing second. And so I'm really excited for him this week.
Yeah, talk about that. I mean, because here's a guy, I mean, you'd like to have him with you, obviously. You're trying to accomplish things as a team. But this guy has earned the opportunity through his amateur status to play in the Masters. You obviously want him to do that. Just kind of walk us through what that's all about and how you approach that.
Yeah, really good question, Joe. I think the way we've always approached situations like this is when guys get opportunities to play in a pro event, and it doesn't happen often, but when they do, as long as it doesn't interfere with our postseason, you know, starting with our SEC championship, you know, through NCAA postseason, we want them to do that because these guys, they're wanting to be on the PGA Tour, and if they're getting an opportunity to play in things like that, that means they've done something pretty extraordinary. And so we would never want to really, you know, hold them back from doing that. I mean, anytime you're an amateur and you get a chance to go play against the very best and kind of see where you stack up, I think it's great. And so, yeah, we're foolish. And we knew that coming into the fall. And honestly, as a coaching staff, you know, you're never excited about not having the, you know, last year's SEC Player of the Year with you as a coach. But you do like it when other people kind of have to step up. And I think, you know, win, lose, or draw, you get to learn about yourself. And guys take on new roles. Different guys are speaking up in team meetings. And I think that's good for the growth of the team. And so that's really been a great thing about this week, and that we're kind of seeing other guys step up. And you know, the tournament's definitely not over. We're playing great teams, but that's always been our approach to it, Joe. Is we want those guys, if given opportunities or earned opportunities like that, we'd like for them to go partake in that.
I'm curious, and you mentioned you've talked to John pretty much every day. I've never had the opportunity to play Augusta. I hope to do that at some point in my life. I can tell you that if I knew I had a tee time at Augusta, I would not sleep the night before. I would be so, you know, jacked up for that. It would be amazing. How is John going into this?
Joe, I tell you what, he came and saw us pulling out Saturday morning. He just came, told everybody bye as he was hitting the road, headed to Augusta as well. And he just really seemed comfortable. And now, I mean, it's the Masters, and it begins on Thursday. But I think he's really taking great strides in his game, and emotionally and physically, and all of those things you got to do to kind of prepare yourself to be one of the best players in the world. And that's where John desires to be, and he's got that kind of ability, no doubt. And so, I mean, you know, I'm not predicting anything from him other than I expect him to, it's a good golf course for him. He hits it long. He chips it great. He's got great imagination around the greens. And as you know, that's what it's going to take there. And I imagine the course is going to play a little different this year than what we're used to seeing in its normal, you know, April time slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what we're all looking forward to see what it plays like in November as opposed to in April. I remember, and I was listening to during the World Series, Joe Buck and John Smoltz were talking about Walker Buehler and, you know, Commodore. And one of the things they mentioned was, you know, here's a guy that's played at the highest level in college. He's pitched in the College World Series. He's done all those things, and it's prepared him for this moment. Well, John has played at the highest levels, if you will, in amateur golf. You guys have played in the national championship finals. You know, he's played in the U.S. amateur and obviously earned his way into the Masters. Does that experience carry over and help going to Augusta?
Well, absolutely it does. And I think I like what you said there. Yeah, I watched every pitch of that World Series. I heard those things they said about Walker, and I think that's exactly right. I mean, you know, if you look at those steps Walker took, he's pitched under the brightest lights, whatever he's been in. And that's what we're trying to do with our program, and is to continue to get the right kind of kids. You keep putting them in the right kind of situations to compete at the highest level, because, you know, pressure's pressure. And being nervous is being nervous, you know, and learning how to deal with that. And so the more you can get in to that kind of pressure, those kind of pressure cookers, and the more you learn about yourself through your failures and your successes, the better off you're going to be on the other side. And John has been, he's hit some of the biggest shots that have been hit in Vanderbilt golf history. And he's made a lot of clutch plays for our team and our program. And he's kind of proven that he likes it. He hadn't always succeeded, but he has a lot. And he loves those moments. So I do think he'll like it when he puts that tee in the ground Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. I don't know if tee times have come out yet, but whenever it is, he'll be excited for the opportunity. I can promise you that.
Well, you've got some guys lined up playing awfully well for you right now. And just kind of give us a little, you know, capsule, if you will, on William and Reed, Matthew, these guys that are kind of carrying the ball for you right now.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Joe. It's just fun for us. We've got a different team lineup than we've ever had, quite frankly. We're missing a couple of stalwarts in the Vanderbilt lineup this week with John and Harrison not here, but you know, we Jansen Preston's making his Commodore debut for us, played a really good round for us yesterday, hung in there well, and then just had a hiccup on 17 today coming in and didn't finish his round off. But you look at Reed going bogey free. Reed was an All-American last year as a sophomore, just one of these guys that's kind of getting better every year. And then William Maul was, you know, he's probably the highest ranked recruit we've signed, and had a really solid, he's all SEC freshman team last year, and he's got kind of all the right stuff. He likes the team golf. He likes the pressure shots. He, you know, he double bogeys his first hole today and birdies his next two holes. And I mean, wind was blowing a good bit today. It was a much tougher day, I thought, today. And he just hangs in there and shoots one under. And so, you know, and you know, Michael Shears, you know, from right there in Franklin, Tennessee, he's, he's doing a lot of good things too. And you know what I'm seeing is he's getting a little more comfortable when he's in there. And he's 3 over through 5 today, finishes his round even par. And Joe, those are the kind of things in what we do as a team. You know, I know golf's viewed on the outside as an individual deal, but we're dependent on each other. And when you see young guys do those kind of things, it kind of tells you they're growing up as golfers. And that's what I'm seeing from a few of these guys. Long way to go in this golf tournament. We're playing against obviously all SEC teams, so it's the best of the best. So we'll have to bring our best tomorrow. Make no doubts about that.
It is amazing, Scott. I look at Old Overton, and 7,200 yards, par 70. And I'm just kind of I'm staring at some of the holes here. There's a 617 yard par 5. You know, the par 3s are 187, 214, 218, and 249. I mean, for those of us who hack the ball around like I do, I mean, I can't even relate to what that must be like.
Well, first of all, Joe, don't sell yourself short. I've seen that action you got, buddy. And let's be honest, you know where your golf ball's going most of the time. But you're right. This is it's a big boys golf course. They just switched over from bent grass greens to Bermuda. So we're playing on some brand, probably 6 months old, so they're firm. They're fast. It's changed this golf course a lot. You know, from my time at Alabama when we hosted this tournament every year, it's kind of not even the same golf course as I remember it. Balls are bounding on the greens, and it's great. And so it's a really good test. But, yeah, it's a lot of drivers, Joe. But what makes it fun is a good mix of these long holes, like you mentioned, but there's also a couple of drivable par fours. So it's a good blend. 6 is a drivable par 4 on the front nine. Michael Shears made an eagle on there today, hit a driver up there about 35 feet, made that putt. And then 15 is a drivable par 4, big-time risk-reward kind of hole. And so a lot of shaking and moving and shaking on the golf course. So it's really a fun place to play for these guys.
Well, best of luck tomorrow. Commodores have a 2-shot lead over Georgia, 3 over Auburn heading into the final round. And, Coach, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us from Alabama. Good luck tomorrow.
No, Joe, I appreciate it. We hope we can finish this fall season out the right way. So I appreciate you having me on, Bub.
Always good to be with you. Scott Limbaugh, head coach of the Commodore men's golf team. They are leading the Jerry Pate National Intercollegiate heading into the final round tomorrow at Vestavia Hills. We'll come back, hopefully visit with the voice of the Kentucky Wildcats, Tom Leach. That's next. And we welcome you back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to have you with us. Been great to talk Vanderbilt football. Then, of course, to have Commodore head men's golf coach Scott Limbaugh join us. And now we're going to head up to Lexington and visit with a good friend of mine and one of the best in the business, the play-by-play voice of the Kentucky Wildcats, Tom Leach. And Tom knows not only everything Kentucky, but he knows horses. And you just had a big weekend up there, didn't you, at Keeneland?
Yeah, they ran the Breeders' Cup races, 14 championship races over 2 days in a variety of categories. And, it's so many things this year have been quote-unquote, so 2020. I mean, the weather on the actual Kentucky Derby day, the weather on the rescheduled Kentucky Derby day, and the weather on the Breeders' Cup day in Kentucky all were idyllic, and people couldn't be there.
So, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you talk about that, and we're all dealing with that. And we've seen earlier today, Tom, Mississippi State saying we can't play with the COVID issues. Kentucky has had to deal with some of that, have they not?
Yeah. Coach Stoops mentioned it, didn't go into too many details, just that they're having some issues and he said it's not, I think the term board used was outbreak. It's not an outbreak yet. But it's positivity rate's been steadily going up here in Kentucky. So as it is in a lot of places, it's kind of surging. And, I see LSU's got a little bit of an issue in that game, from what I read, in jeopardy, the LSU-Alabama game. So, you guys have had plenty to deal with mm-hmm. it. So Kentucky's been, it hadn't been an issue until this point, really. They had like a little bit of a flare-up in training camp in September, but nothing big. So they've been lucky to this point. So I guess it was going to happen on this one.
I'm curious. I mean, because and Tom and we've talked about this. I mean, I'm not traveling. We're doing the road games remotely. You know, we're doing them from studios here in Nashville. How has all this impacted how you cover Kentucky?
Well, things like pregame shows. Normally, I would go to the office on Friday and tape that with Mark, and now we do it via the phone on Thursday. Post-game show, after a game, we have Mark on the phone and then a player interview that we always do. Normally, our sideline guy, Dick Gabriel, would do that in just outside the locker room. So that's done on the phone now. We have traveled to this point to the road games, but we've driven. We don't fly with the team, which we typically would do.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a staple, you know, here for a while, and I think even Tom thinking into basketball, as I know you are, I'm wondering how that's going to work out.
Yeah, we are just starting to get a little discussion about that, but I haven't heard any hard and fast plan. I think, like for Kentucky's case, for home games, they're talking about 15% of the arena, but. You know, 15% of capacity, but that's everybody. I mean, that's the participants, the media, the concession workers, everything. Mm-hmm. So it's not just 15% of the fan capacity. And I still don't know if we're going to be, you know, down in our typical spot at courtside, or if we may be, they have like a press area up on in front of the upper deck. So could we maybe be up there? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're all dealing with that, Tom. I know exactly what you mean. Tom Leach, the play-by-play voice of the Kentucky Wildcats, joining us here for a few minutes. Well, tell us about this football team. It's kind of an enigma. It's done some great things and has some wonderful wins and then some games where you kind of wonder what's going on. You got a quarterback situation. People are trying to kind of figure out what's going on. Where are they right now?
Yeah, they've got, on the offensive side anyway, more questions than answers. Defensively, they had a rough night against Ole Miss, but since then have played well defensively and have, you know, kept the other team, I think Kentucky's at the top in scoring defense, so they've kept the team in a position to have a chance to win, but they have struggled offensively. Down at Auburn, it was Terry Wilson's first game back, so maybe it's a little rust. He, had career highs in attempts and completions, but they couldn't finish off some drives and lost a game that they certainly had a chance to win. The next week should have beaten Ole Miss, had a missed field goal in regulation that probably would have preserved the win. And they missed an extra point in overtime that kept it from extending. So, at that point, they had moved the ball just up and down the field against Ole Miss. But then it started to stagnate, and it's the last 2 weeks now. They've just scored, 13 points in the last two games and really struggling to throw the ball down the field. Fans are certainly frustrated, and it doesn't seem to be one definitive answer. Some of it is a little bit of, you know, quarterback decisions, maybe wide receivers struggling to get open, and I have to think – somewhere in there is, you know, maybe a little quarterback confidence in receivers. They've had some drops. And so they, I think there's a hope that with the open date that maybe they will have, you know, self-scouted a little bit, found some things that you kind of hone in on what they think they do best and then try to find it, some kind of identity. They've got some promising young receivers that haven't seen a lot of action yet. So maybe down the stretch run, you know, they'll give guys like that more of an opportunity. And then the quarterback question, Stoops said today at his news conference, they play the guy who gives them the best chance to win. But we don't know who that is. Terry Wilson came back to practice last week. Joey Gatewood, you know, in fairness to Joey, you know, his first start is against Georgia, which is really good. So, you know, that can you really fully judge him on one game you know, again, given the caliber of the competition. And then they've got a freshman, true freshman, that from here in Lexington that his dad played at UK in the 80s, and he's a promising prospect, and Stoops has talked about wanting to see him play some. So, you know, it's I don't know that we'll have I'm kind of hoping that by the time I take the pregame show, we'll at least get the scoop there on what he plans to do.
Well, good luck with that. I know, yeah, how that goes.
Right.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you taking a few minutes, and I won't be able to see you Saturday because we're doing the game remotely here. But appreciate you taking a few minutes, and we'll see how it goes on Saturday. I think the weather's going to be a lot better than what we're used to when we usually play each other.
Yeah, we're at a good stretch here. So that'll be nice. hopefully it continues for a while.
Tom, happy take care. Out. Yeah, I appreciate sure. it, man. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Tom Leach, good friend, play-by-play voice of the Kentucky Wildcats, giving us a little bit of a summary here on Kentucky. We'll come back and wrap it up in just a moment. And we welcome you back. Our final moments here on the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher with you. The Commodores will take on the Kentucky Wildcats in football on Saturday morning. It's an 11 o'clock Central Time kickoff. Our broadcast begins at 9:30 a.m. With the tailgate show from Lexington. And the Cats, as Tom Leach told us just a moment ago, the quarterback situation between Gatewood and Wilson is kind of up in the air. We'll see. And Mark Stoops said, we're going to play the quarterback that gives us the best chance to win. Didn't say who that was. And so we kind of leave that open. And so we'll wait and see. I think Derek Mason would tell you got to prepare for both. And so that's going to be part of the issue. Coming up this weekend, hard to believe, the Masters. It's going to be a totally different thing. But a couple of Commodores, a couple of Andy boys are in it. Brant Snedeker, of course. And John Augenstein, current Commodore, who earns an amateur status entry into the Masters. And so we look forward to seeing both of those guys play. Tee times have not been released as of yet. They will probably come out tomorrow morning. So we look forward to following those guys and their progress in Augusta. Commodores take on Kentucky again on Saturday at 11 o'clock Central Time. We'll see you then from Commonwealth Stadium. I'm Joe Fisher. Thanks for joining us for the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.